You know what time it is. Welcome to Great Table Talk. Childhood friends coming together to make a difference in our everyday community. Enjoy this week's episode. Welcome to Great Table Talk. It's your girl, Cash. How you doing, fellas?
Doing great.
We have a special guest today, Mr. Brian Lumor. How are you doing?
Doing better than most.
That's all right, all right. You heard that? Mr. Brian Lumor is the principal of Hornville High School, which is my alma mater. Thank you very much.
And good for you.
I'm just saying, he had the opportunity to go. Mr. Lumor, in case you don't know, this is, you know, my first cousin. Our dad are brothers.
Okay.
And he had the opportunity to go to Hornville, but he just chose not to. But we're not going to. We discuss this every Thanksgiving.
An H on his chest. You know what I wear on mine? An A. First
tried
letter.
Oh, he tried it. Oh, okay, we're going to talk about that later.
Airline. I went to Airline.
Okay, okay.
Shout out to Airline High.
Oh, no shout out to Airline High. Hornville High is the place to be, which is where we are filming this podcast today.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great school. It's been a long time since I've been inside of here. So,
I mean, yeah, we beat up on Airline a lot.
Oh
yeah, you know we're an academic.
He's tried it. That's a great comeback. I love that. I know you are such a busy man, and I do appreciate you allowing us to come interview you.
Absolutely.
I just want to say for the record, I've talked to quite a few students, so I've done my research before I got with you today. Quite a few students love Mr. Brian Lumor. I tell you, they're acting like y'all went to school together, shot mobs. So that's a great thing to have an impact like you do.
Good, I appreciate that.
Yep, so here's the thing. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Mr. Brian Lumor?
Well, believe it or not, I tell the kids this all the time. I grew up a little small town, West Wego.
Okay.
The city that knows how. In a pretty bad area. You know, I have to take them back there sometimes because, you know, they sometimes believe that, you know, it's always been kind of like a white picket fence, no issues. Mm-hmm. But some of the same issues that these kids are going through, I went through myself, you know. From a two-parent home, you know, they had enough to make ends get close. They never met, you know, but they work extremely hard to afford us the opportunity to get a quality education. My parents were very strict. Even though I was a guy, I was sort of treated like a girl, you know, had to be home by midnight for my senior prom. And, you know, I tell people things like that, and they don't believe me. I was a public school kid all my life, but my ninth grade year, my freshman year, I had an opportunity to go to Archbishop Shaw, which was a Catholic school, because I was interested in music. And, my home school, they really didn't focus too much on the music program. So I went to Shaw, believe it or not, I was in a band. Mm-hmm. And then I grew 6 inches in the summertime, and everybody started saying, man, you should play basketball.
Uh-huh.
You know how that is, tall guy, and they thought I should play basketball. But I really went to the school for music. I heard it was a good school from an academic standpoint, but I just thought if you applied yourself, it didn't matter where you went to school.
Good.
You know, so I played basketball and I was in a band, and like I say, I grew 6 inches, and you know, my freshman year, I wound up making a varsity team, having never played basketball a day in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, it all took off from there. You know, I was in a band, and then I was excelling at basketball, and it turned out my senior year I was able to receive a number of scholarship offers from an academic standpoint as well as athletic, you know. But my passion still was music. So I put all that in a pot, and even though I had all these scholarships, I decided to attend Loyola University. Because they were starting a basketball program.
Mm-hmm.
They called it a tradition reborn. It was in its second year of reinventing that particular program. And then it was a great institution for music, you know, for my musical background, and as well as a great academic institution. So I was able to kill 3 with 1 stone, you know, and I jumbled all that up in a pot and was able to go there. And, you know, once again, just continued to get better in basketball. Yeah. And then my dean of the music school gave me an ultimatum, like, you gotta decide, you're missing all these performances, what are you gonna do?
Right,
at that particular time, it was easy for me. I was going to go play basketball.
Uh-huh.
So then I just minored in music. I was still able to play basketball. You know, and I was able to fulfill all those
dreams.
And, I definitely had a plan in place. So it was good. Under no circumstances did I ever think I would be, you know, in the school system, a teacher, a coach, or, you know, I just thought I was going to go play basketball at the next level. But if that didn't work out, I still did what I was supposed to do in the classroom to kind of establish that solid foundation so I can always have that to fall back on.
Okay. Now, I do things a little unorthodox, so I want to ask a question, but I'm going to come back to what we just discussed about your upbringing.
Okay.
When you became principal of Hornville High, was there any pressure that you put on yourself or from the outside world that you felt like you were pressured when you accepted this position?
You know, this is it's almost like I was talking to a few people, and they say the same thing. It's almost like you're running the city. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hornville's right. principal and Destrahan. I mean, it's really more so on the West Bank. I mean, this is it's a community.
That's it's a really true statement,
a tight-knit community. I find a lot of people on the other side of the river have migrated there. But here you got your homegrown, right. your mamas. So it's a tight-knit community. So people look at you. You know, when I became principal, it's like you have a green head all of a
right.
sudden.
Right.
And a strength for me, I don't really stress out about anything because you can only control what you can control. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of my biggest strengths. It wasn't any pressure at all because I felt that all I needed to do was to continue to do what I've been doing. You
right.
know, on a day-to-day basis, which is just try to enrich the lives of young children. And that's it for me. The day that's not the number one focus for me would be the day I get out of this.
Right.
You know, so it was very easy for me. No pressure whatsoever.
I think that's like the best mindset. And even to what he led into when he was talking about himself, I think for me, I always say the most important thing a person can do is share their story. And by this being such a close-knit, you know, I guess area, I mean, people are going to treat him like family.
Right.
So knowing the story and knowing where he comes from and having respect for that and being able to see, like, this person is just like me. They had the same opportunities, you know, that I'm going to have, you know, going through life.
Right.
It's a great thing for kids to see.
That's a plus. You're right. Yeah, that's a plus. Pause for a second. Can you all hear me in your headphones?
Yeah,
okay. Okay, good. Okay. So make sure I turn the volume up later.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and see. Okay, back to what you were saying earlier. You played basketball. What would be one of the things that your students would be surprised to know about Mr. Brian Lumar?
They're extremely surprised about the music side of it. I mean, I did that for 17 years. So when I whip out my trumpet and play with the band, and I'm really in the mix with the students here at the school. I try to do a little bit of everything, you know, because not one particular sport or club, extracurricular, co-curricular activity is more important than the other.
That's correct.
You know, so I try to get around as much as I can to show the students I'm, you know, not far removed from doing the exact same thing you're doing today. You got to stay up with the times, you know, otherwise it'll pass you by. So I think that's the biggest thing. When I pick up the trumpet and start playing and they like, is that you? Like, you know, so, and they don't
I would
know.
Be tripped out if my principal picked up any instrument. I'm like, hold up now.
I'm saying that. I'm good. I'm really, really, you know, feeling good about that because I think diversity is something that's missing
yes.
in our communities. Like,
right.
we get pigeonholed into thinking that we're
that's
supposed
correct.
To do just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's
know?
Correct.
And I'm going to tell you, I always share the story with them because when I walked into Shaw High School my first day, I'll never forget, you know, you're talking about a school that was probably 95% white,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I walked in and, you know, the first few blacks that I had the opportunity to run into, to have an encounter with, they were ripping me to shreds because here you had this 6'3", you know, tall, bald black guy
right.
holding a horn in his hand.
Right.
You know, and they let me have it. You know, and like I say, if I wasn't strong at that point, I would have folded right then and there.
Right.
You know, but I stayed true. You know, I'm really partial to a lot of the eclectic kids here at the school, your ROTC,
right.
your band, your kids, because they can be themselves without worrying about what others have right. to say. And I try.
And that's
to,
a plus.
Yes.
That is definitely a plus yes. in today's society.
I try to send that message all the time. Be yourself. It doesn't matter. You know, that's what I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to let those kids, let those students at that particular time, you know, make fun of me and just discourage me from doing what I wanted to, right. you know, to ultimately do, I probably wouldn't have never been, have made it, you know, to this point.
Yeah.
And those same kids, you know, when it was all said and done, were the same kids scratching my back in the class for answers,
right,
and
right.
trying to get me to do this and trying to get me to do that. And so, I try to get that message to the kids as well, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm saying, you really have to define your character. And it's crazy because in defining your character, the same people that will make fun of you will be the same people that will brace you the strongest in the end. Like, once you stand by what it is you say you're
true.
Going to be, that the heckling turns to respect.
That's facts. Yeah. I'm
yeah, that's
say.
Well said right there.
Because
no doubt.
I played the viola. And I don't judge me. I played the viola. For those who don't know, the viola is slightly bigger than the violin, and I was very good in it, and I used to play the viola. And I love still to this day.
Well,
it's one of my favorite instruments.
I'm a basketball player too, so I basically, my instrument was me tapping my leg at the pep rally. That day.
You know, I played basketball. I thought it was pretty good, but you know, it didn't work out for me.
Yeah.
So, I want to stop and have a quick moment of fun.
Okay.
Okay. This is what every podcast that I've done, I like to have a fun moment, a human fact, a human fun moment, or shall I say, a humanizing fun moment. Right now, tell me what your playlist look like in your phone.
It's like, what you're riding to.
What you're riding to. Like, on your way to work today, what did you ride to?
You wouldn't want to know that. I mean, I'm really a jazz guy. I'm stuff. I ride into things that'll clear your mind.
Well, give me something.
You know? Give me something.
I'm a huge jazz fan,
I mean,
too,
on,
so
now,
you got to let me know. I mean, I'm
it.
Trying to see what you're going to say.
Any type of jazz you can think of. I mean, this morning, and believe it or not, I rode into Maze.
All right, you know, y'all know I love me some Maze.
Yeah, I mean, everybody love Maze.
Yeah.
I'm saying,
yeah, but I mean, you know, Najee, you know, Boney
right.
James,
Boney James,
Culberson,
okay. yes,
you know those
yes.
guys, Kenny.
I like
G,
Boney James. Yeah. Boney James
you know.
Is dope. I'm a huge Sonny Rollins fan. Like, I'm
Tisdale.
Old school
Tisdale's
jazz.
Great.
Like,
yeah.
I'm
well.
Sonny Rollins. I
oh, yeah.
love Monk. I mean, I'm a huge Coltrane fan too. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think Coltrane really
Coltrane.
Is.
Just music, guys. Like the real arrangements
no,
of the
but those,
music, just
yeah.
the different instrument pieces that you can hear. And I mean, that's something that is missing the lost art in this
yeah.
music today.
Well, that's why, like I say, even with my baby boy, he, since he was born, he does jazz at bath time
mm-hmm.
every night. Like, I really want to introduce that into his life.
It actually causes your mind to open up in different dimensions.
It does.
To think and relax on different levels. You know?
And let me
Same
tell
thing
you, every day at work, I'm on spa music.
Mm-hmm.
Spot.
That's
seriously,
yeah,
people.
Yeah.
I got people that they will come into my office just to sit down
and relax
and kind of
it
relax,
is.
And they're like, "Oh my God!" I mean, I
right.
That's round the clock. If we walk in right now, it's
right.
Spa music.
He and I talk about this because we're big on meditating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm a big when I get up in the morning, I have to kind of get my mind together. So you put that little clip on and take some deep breaths to get your mind right.
Because it's crazy when you try to explain things to people and they look at you crazy, but then you give them like real world. Because if you say vibes and frequencies to some people, you'd be like, then
you
get
mean?
The green head.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just like you said, if you walk into a room and that music's playing, you feel like home.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The frequency
right.
of the music is, that's what it is.
You're right.
And that's what gives you that emotion.
So. Yep. So, thank you for obliging us. I mean, well, you know, what my little, what's
oh, no.
on your playlist.
I mean,
right
it's now. Nothing too exciting. Look, that's on a day-to-day basis. That's every day. Because, I mean, you got to think about it like this. You got almost 1,500 kids, different personalities, home life, different situation.
Ooh, yes.
You know, so many working parts. About 200, 225 faculty and staff, from teachers to custodians
yes.
to lunch monitors to cafeteria.
That's
to,
a big responsibility.
You got to, you know what I'm saying? I mean, and you have to be, it's all about customer service.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, every day, that's one thing I pride myself on. And these kids will tell you this, anybody who works here, I'm the same every day.
Right.
You'll never know. every single day I'm exactly the same.
Right, and that's doesn't very important.
What I have going on at home, know, with the family, I am the exact same every day.
And I get that consensus from the few kids that some has graduated this year, and even the ones that are graduating next year. That's what they get. I mean, that's what they, when they talk about Mr. Lumar, they say, well, Mr. Lumar, hey, I like him. I mean, even though he's kind of tough, but I love Mr. Lumar. I mean, you know, they have words that they use. You'd be like, what does that mean exactly? But that's the consensus that they give.
It's that basketball reference right there. I mean, you gotta leave the last play. You know, everything's about the next play. You know?
Yeah.
Right. I just try to be fan firm. That's it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I get from everyone. Yeah. What you got, B?
I would say that's respectability. You got me. Since you're in your zone of those things, and you're gonna make me ask this question here, and maybe I can get some reference from this, because sometimes I feel like I'm in this boat too. With your scheduling, with your time and everything that you're responsible for, like you just outlined, what do you think the biggest challenge to dating is?
The biggest challenge?
To dating. To date. Yeah, what has been your biggest challenge to date? Like, to date?
Well, just...
Being a principal.
Well, just, you know, once again, just from from a current standpoint... Just the instructional piece, it's ever so changing, with the state, and we come in with this guided, this guaranteed curriculum. It's changes every day from an educational standpoint that you have to stay current with, and you have to ensure students' success. You know, it seems like the students are testing every single day. You know, that can become overwhelming. You got to make sure you keep the kids motivated. You keep the teachers motivated. You want to make sure that, everyone is on the same page. And I just think, I'm always excited. I'm always upbeat. I'm always enthused. Mm-hmm. I'm always motivating and just trying to make sure the faculty and staff is on the same page, because it starts at the top.
Correct.
You know, and it's a direct reflection, on you. So every day I'm amped up, hoping I can breathe that same type of enthusiasm into the teachers, so it can trickle down to the students, because it can become really overwhelming to them on a day-to-day basis, just from an instructional standpoint, man. And, you couple that with social media and dealing with issues outside of the classroom, mental issues and just different things like that, that can become extremely challenging. And then, trying to have those particular students perform well in the classroom at the same time. It's crazy, today's generation with what they have going on,
So where do you recharge? Since you're the head, you have so much on your shoulders, you're responsible for so many people, so many lives. Where do you recharge? Where do you get
I'm gonna tell you, it's easy for me, because every day, I make this comment, it's verbatim, it sounds like a broken record, and people probably like, all right, here we go again. But I only say it because I mean it every day. Every day I come to work, I look forward to coming to work, can't wait to leave so I can get back to see these kids again. And it's tough right now because they're not here.
They're
now you're dealing with us, the adults, but that's why I do it. So they recharge me. When you walk in and you see one lone face, or you see one excited face, or you see one face screaming for help, that's what recharge me on a day-to-day basis. Like I say, to do this, you have to love the kids. Otherwise, you wouldn't survive an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Because it's almost like and I always reference coaching. I don't know who would want to be a coach, because when you win games, you got a lot of talent, and when you lose, it's your fault.
Absolutely.
So it's a no-win situation. Right. It's the same, I think being in any type of leadership position, the kid could, we could have students that come here and decide they're not going to do anything. They're not going to follow any rules, no matter how many interventions we put in place. We can call home. We can do whatever it takes to make sure they're successful, and they could not do it. And then it's all going to fall back on me.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or Hornville High School, or our teachers.
Because as a parent, just know this, I blame administration.
There's no doubt.
I haven't had any reason to blame administration, I'm going to be honest, in some time. And I think you all do an awesome job. I don't think that the principal, teachers, even the custodians, top to bottom, you all do a pretty awesome job. And I'm not just saying that because I'm interviewing with
Absolutely.
You. I'm saying that because I've been one to ring the bell if something's not, you know, Absolutely. To my liking. So when something is going well, I don't hesitate to say, good job.
Of course.
Good job.
Well, I think that's kind of the most important thing I always say about what we do is that I think when things are bad, we always have something to say. But when things are good, we're just mute.
Right.
Like, we don't say nothing. Like, we're not applauding. Yeah, we're not going
to
applaud. We just going
to. Much better with that.
All right, well, I ain't going to say nothing. Right. I ain't got nothing to complain about. No, we got to celebrate these things.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
Absolutely.
I think excellence is something that is just as viral as negativity is if we would approach it the same way. You know, it's the reason why we can't get, you know, positivity across as easily as we can get a fight video.
That's right.
Right.
You know,
I want to stop. And we certainly have to rewrite the narrative. And I think, like you said, social media plays a lot into how our children respond, how they react, how they behave. Mm-hmm. So those who know better, adults, those leaders, community leaders, we need to begin to continue to feed just as much positivity out there as we get this this negativity and these, you know, wayward ways.
I see, for me, my fight is always that I fight concepts of our thought process because we actually mirror what it is. Like I had a conversation with a kid about rap music, and he was saying the music reflects what we go through. Mm-hmm. I say no, the music mirrors what it is because if we constantly put that content in us, we're gonna reflect that.
That's correct.
So it continues to be the narrative because it's what you continue to feed yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If we had the same thing, it's like if our music and entertainment was more Cosby Show than it was, you know, trap music and love and hip-hop.
Correct.
We would mirror that.
That's right.
Because we would want to be that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we don't want to be that because we want to be 2 Chainz. We don't want to be Malcolm X.
And that's one of the biggest things that we have a challenge for us because we're so in our community, and we start in our house first, you know, because we have teenagers, and they test the boundaries, which is kind of why we talked about the Teen Summit being such a big thing to kind of get back to, because we're hard pressed on rewriting the narrative to make sure that I'm a computer programmer by trade, been doing it for 20 some years, and one of the big sayings then was garbage in equals garbage out. Mm-hmm. So you put garbage into a system, you're gonna get a garbage system out. Same thing with our kids, we have to kind of feed them and continue to put great things in so we can get great things, which goes off of their energy, the music, the company, the influencing, you know.
And I think that's the biggest part of even the great movement. And something that I thought of first when you came to me with the idea is that we have to get back to making sure our kids understand that being employed is more important than I guess being heartbroken that, like you say, you didn't make it next level playing basketball.
That's right.
And just being like, I'm still a man if I provide for my family.
Right.
I'm still a man if I'm respectable in my community.
Right.
But we go from having that ideal that if we don't reach the mountaintop, we might as well just lay down here on the floor.
Right.
And not worry about nothing else. Like, life is over. And that's not it.
Right.
And that's not even life.
And that's not life. Because if you aim for the moon, like they said, the saying goes, if you aim for the moon and you don't hit it, at least you land among the stars.
That's right.
We have to have a plan. And if that plan doesn't work out, you're going to still be amongst greatness, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what it's about. So what's your next question, B?
I am here with, good. As the principal, even as an educator, what do you think the most important thing parents can do at home to help educators in, you know, I guess making it better, making it easier for these kids to learn and grow in the community?
I just think the support, you know, just support your children. It's very easy for me to deal with parents. I know people are probably losing their mind when I say that, but it is because I'm a parent, you know, and I have a 13-year-old, but I always put myself in their shoes. So if you would come to school to crush the administration or belittle the faculty and staff, I always think like a parent. And if you don't advocate for your child, then no one else will.
Right.
I also, you know, I communicate with people. So if you shoot me an email as a parent, I'm calling you back. Because I don't want to have to.
Which he does.
I need to gauge your temperature. I don't want to just judge you off of an email, which could be a total misconception. You know?
Correct.
And that happens all the time. So I'll call you back. I'll gauge your temperature. And I don't have those issues with parents. But I think the support system is critical for these kids, you know, because I know how they feel when just a teacher show up. So I can only imagine how they would feel if their own parents would provide that type of support. Just being there with them from a support standpoint, you know, we'll handle it from an academic standpoint, but if you just could establish that solid foundation at home in which we all can become a proud and productive team, I think that makes life easy, especially first and foremost for the child, for the student.
Right.
You know, so I think supporting your kids, you know, in whatever, you know, whether they're picking up an instrument, playing in a band, or, you know, in a game club, or receiving some type of award, just being visible and just providing that support for them, that foundation, it makes it. It starts at home. I know a lot of people don't want to realize that, but it starts at home. And, you know, when you get calls where they're blaming you, and, you know, there's no blame on the kids, the parents don't take any responsibilities, I'm like, well, what?
I
mean, what's really going on? Right. And it becomes a problem,
right?
You know,
and then, you know, with those, you're like, okay, I see where the issue starts. And I think one of the biggest things that we're aiming to do with rewriting the narrative is, which is the purpose of this podcast, is reaching those who may be parents, those who may be thinking about becoming parents, because it's everyone, we don't know everything. There's not a handbook to this.
And I think that's something that we have to admit. Like, I'm one of those people that's readily admitting that I'm flawed. I tell my kids this all the time. Do not ever expect me to be perfect. I think parents want to be like superheroes to their kids, but no, you need to be human to your kids.
Because
kids don't talk to their parents mainly because they don't see them as having the same problems that they've had. When no, life is basically the same for everybody.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And the more human you make yourself, the more, I think, readily that's available true. You make your kids be able to come back and talk to you.
That is so true. I mean, I have the 21-year-old, the 18-year-old, and the 15-year-old, and I tell you, the more I made myself human and showed my scars, if you will, the more vulnerable that they became, open and honest, which caused things to be quite, you know, easier in the household.
Right, absolutely.
You know.
It does.
So, this is I think you had a great question about
this is my thing too. I know more black men are needed in education.
That's a great one.
So what do you have to say about young men that are interested in education? What advice would you give them, or how would you try to bring more young black men into education?
And, you know, I talk to the students here all the time in regards to this. You know, I just try to give them a realistic picture on what it's like in today's society, what it's like when you get out there in the real world, you know, because I want them to look at me as an individual who struggled at some point, because I did. You know, and I want them to understand that there's nothing wrong with putting a subject and verb together to make sense.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with wearing your pants on your waist.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, for some time, when I was talking to a lot of these kids, a lot of our black students, they would come in and we would have honest conversations. They'll tell you that. You know, I'm honest with them. And they're like, well, man, you trying to be white.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can go there. So then my response has always been, well, okay, I'm gonna put a subject and verb together. I'll try to make sense. Right. I'll wear my pants on my waist. You know, I'll do the things that I like to do, not with someone else. I say, well, I think it's doing what's right, not what's white. But
correct.
If you think that's what white is, then I'll take it because it's doing what's right. And I try to get that in their head, you know, that misconception that they have when you do the things that are the typical acting like a normal human being, you know, that we would do, there's nothing wrong with that.
Correct.
There's nothing wrong with wanting to be in an honors class. There's nothing wrong with following a group of kids that are doing the right thing. That has nothing to do with black or white.
Correct.
And so my first, to answer your question, I have to separate that form so that they can visualize, you know, what they actually need to be looking at, what they talking about goals, talking about aspiration, what is right, you know, because a lot of these kids, you know, they want to fit the stereotype that we sometimes get placed on us.
That's right.
And that's where the young black men trying to educate them. I have guys come in every day in the morning. I tell them, log in on my computer. And they thought I was crazy. Every day you pull something up, somebody's getting murdered. Somebody's dying. And it's always us.
Yeah.
It's always. And they thought I was just saying that. So I told them, I said, look, I haven't even looked at it. You go ahead and log in, and that's what you will see. You know, and it's going to take people, I tell them, like you, people like myself, you know, to continue to go into education so that we can educate the young kids in today's society, because it's progressively getting worse.
Yeah.
You know, and I want them to challenge themselves. I want them more, you know, you were talking about the stars and the moon. I want them to aim. I'd rather them aim high and miss it.
Correct.
You know, then set the bar so low
That's
so
correct.
That they can reach it.
Right.
You know, and we talk about those things all the time, but you have to be your own individual and want to challenge yourself and want to do these type of things, because I watch kids walk around all the time and they're extremely smart, they're exceptional, but they're not going to do it because that's not what the majority is doing, and they're going to be looked upon as selling out. Or so we got to get over that stereotype and that stigma that's placed on you and develop these kids as leaders, you know, and make them step out of their comfort zone. I always tell them, go do something that you normally wouldn't do. Go sit with somebody
that's
else. You know, that's another reason I chose Loyola. You know, my sister, she's a doctor right now, and she went to Xavier, and she turned down a full scholarship to go to LSU because it was predominantly white, the medical school, so she can go pay to go to Meharry, which is pretty much an all-black medical institution. And that's where we were different. I did the exact opposite. I chose Loyola also because it was geographically diverse. It was multicultural. So I can pick something up from you. Mm-hmm. And I can pick something up from the Vietnamese and then the white and then the Spanish. And then I could learn from all of the cultures. Until this day, she has a difficult time dealing with people.
Diversity.
The diversity, because she never had that. Right. You know what I'm saying? She chose to go in that direction, which was no problem at all.
Right.
You know, so it's different strokes for everybody, for different folks.
And I think we oftentimes have a problem with getting outside of our comfort zone.
Yes.
Because, systemically, we've been taught to think a certain way.
Systemically. What he said, when you talk about it starting at home, we allow our kids to take in content that they're not ready for too early.
Right.
Then that's where the mindset starts. When you got the 4 and 5 year old girls, when you see the videos and they shaking like they grown mamas at the club.
Right.
The content that they're able to take in is going to determine what they think is black.
Mm-hmm.
So this is black. Mm-hmm. Everything hood is black.
Because this person looks like me and they're doing a certain thing and they're limiting that I get it.
That's right. That's why you don't have.
I take it a step further. I want to take it a step further. One of the things in my household that we do is I like them to dare to dream. And I know that's so cliche. Let me just tell you. It's important for them to have a vision. Now, one of my kids, she wanted to be, at one time, she was young enough. She said, I want to be a doctor and I want to be a beautician at the same time. I said, okay. But she was like 7 years old saying this. We have to make sure that we continue to water and cultivate their dreaming. Allow them to dream. Allow them to have a vision for themselves. It's mandatory in our household that every year we have a vision board.
But that's a great
you know,
thing.
Every year.
Right. And you started it, and that gave them a head
that's
start.
That's right. Started at home.
You know,
that's
right. And it's important. But a lot of our kids. That's why our kids are being lost. And I'm talking about any color, any spectrum, but let's even come to our community. They're lost because they lack vision.
Now, if
you don't know your purpose.
But you got to give it to them, though. Just like
true.
How many? There are so many 30 pluses that if you sat down with them and you asked them, What do you want from your life?
No doubt.
Yeah. What makes you happy? Now, you telling me a 30-something-year-old person has no clue what makes them happy, no clue where they aspire to go. How can they raise a child to think the same way?
Absolutely.
That's right. Just FYI, what makes me happy is the beach. You know, it can be in Dominican Republic. It can be in Cabo.
But I mean, but people think, and people will laugh, but that's right. It, because then you start finding a meet. Like, once you find your destination, you start to fill in the gaps, because that's now correct. It's like, you know what, how do I get to this beach? How do I stay here longer? You know
what
I'm saying?
That's correct. That's correct.
And you make things happen from there.
That one week goes to 2 weeks and a month.
When he started talking about how he got from his public high school to Shaw to college and how things start to fall in place. And I tell people that if you get started on your journey, the universe will start to put things in place for you.
That's correct.
So you had one stone, then you picked up two stones, and then you got to college, and you got put everything in your bucket.
Right.
And then start deciding what you wanted to do.
Right. And, and let me tell you something. When I first was named principal, everybody, man, they got a black guy. This the first ever. And I never even thought about that. Like, that never once crossed my mind until a million people start calling me and telling me the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, has it really been this bad? You know, has it really been this long? And then I reflected, and then, you know, I had a greater appreciation of what just happened. And
that's
you're talking
good.
About the pressure. It wasn't so much the pressure, but I say, man, I have to live up to this expectation, because I know they have a lot of people looking at me to be successful. Some looking at me to fail, you know, and I understand that. But I know I needed to do what I needed to do, because it could afford someone else the opportunity to be able to do this. And what makes it even better is that I started off as a teacher, and then I was a coach, and then I became an administrative monitor, and then I went to the next step, which was the assistant principal, and then I became, so it was the entire metamorphosis,
progression.
You know, the progression to get to where I am today. That was no, you know, I didn't cut any corners, no missteps, you know, I did what I needed to do to get to this point. So every time I sit down and I do something, I try to make sure I do it 10 times better than the average man, just so I can, you know, show these kids, not just the black kids, all of the kids, you know, and I knew they're watching, even when, you know, I don't really know they're watching. They're watching
That's
me.
Correct. They are.
Them.
They are. Oh, they
I
are.
I could feel them. Everything you're that you're doing. And it really changed my life from a personal standpoint, you know, how I live my life, the things I do, the way I conduct myself at all times. I'm careful. It made me a better person.
And it holds you accountable. You know? That, because
it holds
that accountability.
You, it holds you. That's it holds you accountable.
That's right.
You know, that's well said. So, but it was crazy, man. When people start saying that, and then I start doing the research, and you know, I was like, man, I didn't realize this school had been open as long. And I'm like, that is something.
My dad,
the entire community, you know, to be the first black, but that's not gonna make you do a good job.
Yeah,
that's not gonna make you, you know what I'm saying?
Something that I don't want to be missed in what he said. I mean, the thing that jumps out at me most is the fact that you went through everything. You started at being a teacher, and you just progressed all the way up. I think the huge misconception with kids is that things just happen.
Oh, that's perfect.
Like,
that's perfect.
No, things don't just happen.
That's right.
Like, I mean, you really have to put the work in. And I think I spend a lot of time talking to kids about just not being discouraged, because you're going to have missteps. Nothing is going to be perfect. Even in your own life, you're going to have things happen, and you have to talk yourself out of, you know, wanting to completely fall back from something just because you didn't have, you know, you didn't reach the mountaintop your first try. Like, it doesn't work like that.
Right. And, and nothing is instant.
No.
Nothing is instant. And just like you said, I'm pretty sure you had some hills to climb, and I'm pretty sure that you had some difficult moments. But
as a teacher, be like, I'm not sure I want to do this.
Absolutely.
And I mean, then, you know, fast forward a few years later, and then you know, you recaptured your love for it in a different way.
Correct.
And I just tell people that all the time.
Just don't give up.
Exactly.
Right.
Just don't give
up.
I remember being in high school, and I went to Boys State, Boys and Girls State.
Mm-hmm.
And me and another guy that wasn't, I mean, not even necessarily sure how that cat got there. But he got put in a different atmosphere, and he was a completely different person. Mm. Completely different person.
That something else?
It is. And I spent last summer trying to convince kids from Kelowna to go to sheriff's camp.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I got backlash and nobody wanted to do it. But I keep telling parents, you will be surprised what your kids acclimate to.
That's right.
That's right.
And take to if you will allow them to.
That's right. I mean, I really think, and she is the one of the things that really got us through. We were always, if there was a camp abroad, our parents put us on that, y'all going to this camp. Yeah. When they was putting us on a bus, like, okay, we're going to African American Museum, and we used to bus going to Alabama
yeah.
and mm-hmm. spend a week and come back. I mean, just the atmosphere. I went to several basketball camps from Louisiana, LA Tech, I mean, Louisiana mm-hmm. Tech University, and of course, we did several different, and that's what our family was big on that. We're military, Brad, so they always had us.
Yeah, what had us at. So I got a concept, so I want to get an opinion from the principal of that. So we stay on talking about diversity mm-hmm. and having different experiences. I am one of those people that think that the same things that we complain about are the same things that we need to be involved in. If you don't like the police force, we need more black police officers. If you don't like the justice system, we need more black judges. We need more black lawyers. You cannot complain about the systems and then not want to be a part of them. You have to be a part of them in order to have some kind of control or opinion over them. So what do you think about that? Because I get a lot of, now, like, nobody wants to be a police officer. Nobody wants to be a lawyer.
I agree,
but you
man.
Wanna...
I mean, we talk about that all the time, especially going back, you know, to education, just with this new Jumpstart curriculum and, you know, certifications. And then kids now going to be work ready as soon as they graduate, you know, from high school. We got guys that, you know, are into welding here that leaves here and, they become certified welders. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, just hired a former student that's going to return this year as a welding instructor. So you need, you know, I barely know how to put gas in a car.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
a lot of times people say you pay for what you don't know. You know, you need the mechanics, you need the policemen, you need all those people. And I'm a big advocate for the military. Mm-hmm. So I make the school, I mean, it's a very inviting, you know, atmosphere for them when they come into the school system, because I think it gives the kids some type of direction in life, as opposed to just, look, 4 years, you got to go to college, 4 years, then you go do this, then you go do that. You know, if that's the case, we wouldn't have these, you know, we wouldn't have these people to protect and to serve. And, you know, like you say, you need more judges, you need more principals, you know, to have some type of influence on the school and in the system, to have a voice. And, you know, to do the right thing, you know, not so much, you know, and this is what I tell the black kids all the time. Look, we want to make this decision because it's the right decision for kids. Not because it's just the right decision for you,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a black kid, but for all kids.
Right.
Because we want people to reciprocate that,
mm-hmm. That's right.
you know, and we want to be treated fair like that as well. So you try to get them to have a open mind, because a lot of them get into things just because it's pro-black.
Right.
And sometimes it's awful things to get into.
Correct.
But because it's sort of, you know, the black thing to do at that particular
mm-hmm.
time,
mm-hmm.
they do it, and they don't even know why.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that's the one thing. You know, we just want to make decisions that's best for kids, for all kids, for, you know, the young generation, and to preach the message on what you're talking about in regards to, we need, if you want to make a difference, if you want to have some type of influence, then that's the path you need to take.
And that's why,
that's so true.
Preach mentorship. You know? I think mm-hmm. mentorship is the way to reach. I mean, like, education is the thing, because these kids are going to be in school more than they're going to be anywhere else. But mentorships allows that black lawyer to speak to a kid that mm-hmm. doesn't see him the way that he probably should.
It brings the human side of it.
He doesn't see his one parent household where his mother raised him or his grandmother raised him,
right,
and he's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
That black kid that sees him just sees a guy in a suit. He's no better than a judge to him. Mm-hmm. Not knowing that his background, and he might have had a worse background than him.
Right.
He may have less to complain about than that guy that's a lawyer.
Right.
Through mentorship and those conversations, having those conversations and sharing your story. Like, sharing your story is so important.
Correct.
Because, like, our kids have so many misconceptions about life, mm-hmm, and the people that they see every day.
Right.
And it's a shame that you say you can see a kid maybe 150 times in a year and never have a conversation with them.
That's good that you said.
Never have
right.
any insight to who right. that person is as a person.
And that's great.
And we got to change that.
Right. We definitely have to change that.
You got to have the conversations.
And in closing, you are now, you have your first year in the books.
That is.
Of
congratulations.
Being the principal of Thank the you. Best school ever, Hornville High School.
Absolutely.
How do you feel? It's I know it's pretty new. It's just summer's not. What, the summer is on the 21st.
It started. Right, they out of school, yeah. So it started.
So I'm just saying. Yeah. How do you feel?
Well, it never ends, you know, because right. you're trying to close out the year now, and then I tell my friends all the time, the school year don't just magically begin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what the summertime is for, just preparing yourself for the upcoming school year, whether it's from changes with the faculty and staff, whether it's new, you know, rules, mm-hmm, whether it's new procedures in place, maybe from an instructional standpoint, the curriculum is different. There's professional development, and, you know, you have to get ready for the upcoming school year. So you really don't have much time to sit back and reflect. But I'll tell you, you know, we always throw this out here about Hornville, St. Charles Parish. It really is a phenomenal school district.
It is.
You know, I wish I've had the opportunity growing up to come to a system mm-hmm. like this. I mean, you walk around this campus, it's like a junior college.
Right.
And these kids are so spoiled because they think every child is walking around with
and
facilities
that's not the,
like
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
And it's not the case.
It's not.
It's not.
to bring you home from practices.
Right.
But we really do pride ourselves on being a AAA school mm-hmm. district. Representing academics, athletics, and the arts. And I think, you know, those three are second to none.
Good.
You know, and I think we, you know, we say all the time how good of a school system, how good of a school we have, but it really is exceptional.
It really is.
It really is top to bottom. They have some great people. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a great superintendent mm-hmm. along with executive staff as well as a phenomenal school board, you know, that certainly advocates for our teachers, and they're the most important piece in this, you know the teachers, because they're in the trenches.
Yes,
every
they
day,
are.
You know,
great teachers.
And I want to support them at all times, mm-hmm. you know, and I try to do that on a day-to-day basis, and I pride myself on supporting our teachers. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the students,
mm-hmm.
and just my vision is always just doing what's best for kids.
That is.
And that pretty much summed it up for it. I mean, that summed yeah. it up. This was a great podcast.
Absolutely.
And in closing, I'm just going to say I'm sorry that you just didn't get the opportunity to share this awesomeness.
Hey,
but
well,
I mean
it's all
better
good.
Late than
I
never,
mean,
right?
I learned something
You're
today.
You're finally in the building.
I was very impressed with how it you know, how it turned out. And I got family that came from here, so I guess I got a little more respect for them than I did before.
Well,
I got
can always drive up airline.
Okay, thanks. Thank you so much, Mr. Lumar.
Absolutely.
I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you for having me.
Definitely,
this
definitely.
Has been
very
great
well
table
done.
Talk.
Very fun.
And we out.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Good deal. That's awesome.